Compensation is defined as something, and it's usually money, given to someone as a payment in exchange for services. In the workplace, it's what is earned by employees. So this is a simple concept. But just handing out a paycheck on a regular basis is not quite the entire picture when you think about an evolving business strategy. And to talk about this today, and I think we have everyone's attention because we're going to talk about money, paychecks. We all love them. I welcome Chuck Violin, the founder of Violin Management Associates and the author of Forging Dynasty Businesses, an Amazon bestseller, Chuck.
Hey. My
Thank you for joining.
pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Today, as I've mentioned, we're going to talk about compensation, paychecks, and all that. But I noticed in your book that chapter about compensation seems simple enough. What caught my eye, though, Chuck, is where it talks about philosophy. I never thought about compensation and philosophy being together in a conversation. Put it together for us. What do you have to say about that?
It is an interesting combination of the two. Actually, the whole business with philosophy of compensation is one of the things that led to the book, writing of the book. I even address it in the introduction to the book, but I don't think anything would explain it probably as well as an incident that I experienced several years ago when I was doing a Strategies for Success program at John Donne in Chicago. And in that particular program, I was talking about compensation. Several people in the room, there were two in particular that got my attention in the sense that they both of these guys, and we were both men, ran very successful businesses. Yet they had radically different philosophies about how they pay their people. One felt that his philosophy was, I'm going to give them livable wage salaries and small commissions based on performance. The other one was he wanted to run it strictly on bonuses. In other words, how well you perform is how well you're going to get paid. Radically different philosophies, both of them leading to very successful companies. So it isn't necessarily the philosophy, because that's going to be a personal thing. It's how we view the compensation that we're giving people. So what I have found is that when we view our compensation, what we pay people, by how much we have to pay them, we're really viewing it from the wrong perspective. Because if we continually pay people low wages or wages that they can't survive on, what we end up with too often are people who aren't going to be able to make the decisions that we need to have made. I mean, even baseline decisions. Now, look, that might play into our need to be the chief problem solver in our businesses, or to be perpetually the smartest guy in the room. But what happens with that is the unintended consequence of that is that we're not able to grow our businesses because all of the decisions have to go through us, and there's only so much of us. I think when you add to that the fact that it's hard to get the best out of your people or to get them to go above and beyond, as far as the service for your customers, when they're struggling with just trying to feed their families, very difficult to get that.
Agreed. Well, thank you for that, Chuck. You also talk about how people and the compensation they receive aren't to be managed, but are to be, and I like this, an investment to be tracked. That's interesting. Can you develop that thought for us?
Yeah, I sure can. Look, in a service, in a direct labor-driven service business, payroll is always going to be your biggest budgetary cost and the biggest line item on your income statements. So it doesn't mean that you don't track those expenses. But I think if you change your view of that, and you always look when you're looking from a budgetary or performance perspective, don't look at it necessarily as what am I paying per hour or how much in a salary. View it as a percent of revenue, because it's the percent that really matters. So what we need to be looking at is what will it cost us in order to bring A players, the people we really need in our businesses, in order to let them grow, what is that expense going to be in bringing them in? But then you take a look at what they're going to produce. And so that's how you view this. So it isn't just what's the cost, it's what's the return that we're going to get from the people that we have in the organization, the A players that we need.
That makes sense. We want all those A players.
We need the A players.
To really have success, that's true.
Jeff, if I could jump in on that, the financial return is just one. I mean, they're obvious. But I think you also look at the non-financial returns that you get in the business. And when you look at the non-financial returns that you get in the business, you take a look at the reduced turnover. You take a look at having more time, more uninterrupted time that you would have as the business owner with your family. You take a look at how much more fun you're going to have, how much more joy you're going to take from going into work with a group of people who are really contributing, really engaged. It makes your job more fun. And so, I mean, those are just some of the ways that some of the non-financial things that you want to take a look at when you look at your compensation with your people.
Sounds like everyone wins in that scenario.
They do win in that scenario, absolutely.
Now, Chuck, I imagine most of our viewers today, being business owners, managers, are not expert accountants. They're leaders, though, in their companies, and they should know the various components to proper compensation. And in this chapter, you dig into, or can you dig into, the details there about total compensation. I notice incentives, pay plans, bonuses. I mean, everyone wants a bonus, and other details. Talk about that a bit.
Well, look, I'm all about bonuses. I'm all about raises for people in our organizations, obviously, as long as they're done wisely and as long as they're done with a purpose in mind. So let's take a look at some of the financial components of a compensation. You know, obviously you have hourly rates or salaries. You've also got bonuses that you might be paying, performance bonuses. You might have commissions for people based on sales or other ways. You also take a look at health benefits that you might be providing to your people. Not just the benefits, but take a look at how deep those benefits go. Does it just include the worker? Does it include their family? What's the co-pay that's involved? Do you provide retirement retirement programs for the people in your organization? So those are all the easy to measure metrics that you look at from the financial side. But take a look at the other side of it too. There are non-financial performance metrics that you look at as far as how you compensate your people. Flexibility of schedule and flexibility of time off is huge within the workplace today. You might even look at, are there people that want to or that might be able to work remotely? That in the past, we didn't have the technology to allow that. Philosophically, we weren't even there. But I think even as you go deeper into that, you can look at different parts of it. Think about it like this, and this is how I try to help our clients think about it. Again, I'm going to go back to the percent that the numbers represent. If your company is struggling with a troubled or a toxic culture, think about the impact that that has on your ability to attract and retain the people that you want in your organizations. Now take a look at the impact that those same people have on the other workers within your organization. How difficult is that? How difficult is it to have the culture that will attract the people to your organization? So you take a look at the culture, you take a look at the management styles within your organization that are non-financial forms of compensation. When you have healthy cultures, when you have healthy management styles, what happens is that that will either lead to reducing the percents that your payroll, overall payroll represents as a percent of income, or elevate it. If you're constantly churning people, you see those direct labor rates go up. Now, a lot of times we misinterpret that data. We think it's because we're paying people too much. No, it's not because we're paying people too much. It's because we're constantly churning people. We have higher training costs. We have higher turnover costs. All of those things contribute to it. So look beyond just how much I pay somebody per hour or what the salary is. You want to take a look at what are the other intangible, non-financial forms of compensation that we provide to the people within our organization that causes them to stay with us longer and produce more profitability within the organization.
I know, Chuck, I've seen you do presentations about profits and the money aspect of a business. That's probably your passion.
It can be. Again, Jeff, when you look at payroll being the largest budgetary item, you've got to pay attention to it. But you really want to be careful that, and again, I'm not talking about how much I'm paying somebody per hour. What I'm talking about typically is what percent does that overall payroll represent in the performance of the company, in revenue and then net profitability.
Makes sense. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it. Now, do you see bonuses or pay raises as a way to get more from workers, or even a way to turn a mediocre worker into a good worker, an important asset to the company?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my. I made a comment just a moment ago. I'm all in favor of bonuses, all in favor of raises, all in favor of paying people appropriately for the work that they're doing in a company. Do I think that bonuses are going to turn somebody around, turn a mediocre player into a main asset? I really don't. I've not seen that happen. Money is a reward for the performance that they're bringing to the organization. We talk about carrots and sticks. I don't think that money is a good stick. I have not seen money being a great carrot long term. Do I think that you can have improved performance short term because of a bonus? I do. But long term, I've not seen that work. I think it has to go beyond that. There has to be something more than just the financial component of that, Jeff. I'll go back to the comments that I just made a moment ago when I was saying that take a look at the non-financial forms of compensation. If you've got a lousy culture, people are going to leave you anyway. They're not in today's workplace. They're not going to hang around. So work on those as well.
Okay. Any final thoughts you'd like to share to wrap up?
Yeah, I think that we would do ourselves a huge favor if we shifted a question that we typically ask ourselves when we're looking to hire somebody. Frequently, we'll be asking ourselves, what am I going to have to pay to get this person in here to do their job? And we look at it from how little can I pay? I think if we spun that around a little bit and said, how much compensation am I going to have in order to get this person in here and get the most out of us as an organization? If you think about that, if we get the right person in, regardless of what we're paying them, how are they going to make us a better organization? How are they going to help us compete better? What impact are they going to have on the other workers in the organization in terms of keeping them on board, having them become part of a winning team? And then the last one, Jeff, is what are they going to get out of me as a business leader? How will this person make me a better business leader because they're on board at our organization? That, in my opinion, is the question that we ought to be asking ourselves when we're considering compensation.
Yeah.